you guys today. Pastor Todd is such a big brother to me and has been since I was young, known me for over 20 years almost. And him and Lisa are just the best. Can you give it up for your pastors? They are phenomenal. Phenomenal. I'll tell you, he's one of the few people that has always believed in me, and since I was a kid, told me God's going to use you, and it's, you know, you're not always going to be stupid. I mean, he just really loved me, and so I love Church of the King, Lake Charles. This is when you guys first launched the church. So what was that? 11 years ago? 12 years ago? 10 years ago? I came up here and lived upstairs for like 6 months in Pastor Todd's office, and he let me do some amazing things, like cut all the grass with a push mower and like sweep the parking lot with a small broom and like some really cool stuff I'm just so grateful for. And Jared, you guys' guitar player, was here. Me and Jared used to run around here and get crazy. And so this is awesome. So for me, this is coming home. And you guys may not know me, but I know you and love you. And I'm just so excited to be with you. My wife is with me today. Me and my wife have been married for going on 7 years. We've been together almost 11 years. But I'll tell you, it feels like 5 minutes underwater. So... No, I'm just kidding. Probably for her, not for me. But we've been married 7 years. We have 2 children. We have Eli, who's 4, and Finley Kate, who is 2. And Eli, before I came over here, he FaceTimed me, and I said, "Hey, I'm going to preach." He said, "Who are you preaching to?" I said, "People." I said, "What should I preach on?" He said, "Preach about me." I said, "What do you want me to tell him about you?" He said, "Tell him I'm your boy." And I said, "Okay, anything else?" He said, "And about my dog and my ranger." So there you guys go. I don't know what that means. Hopefully, if you guys are ready to get saved, that's phenomenal. But that's what he said to preach about. So we are currently out of Birmingham, Alabama at Church of the Highlands, and we've been there for almost 3 years. In this next year, we're moving to Tomball, Texas, right outside of Houston, to launch our own church. And so we're very excited about that, and we'll get to be closer to you guys and your pastors that we love so dearly. So thank you guys so much for being here. I'm excited. Let's pray, and we'll jump into it. Dear God, thank you so much for today. Thank you, God, that you speak to us, that you know us, that your heart is for us. I pray that you speak to us today, God. I pray that you open our eyes in areas, that your word is illuminated. God, give us the words from your heart. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, to the very heart of who we are, that you would reveal things to us that only you can. Bless these people. God, be with Pastor Todd. I just pray that you would bless him over there, that he has a wonderful trip. Just thank you so much for allowing us to be here together. God, you're such a good God, and we love you so much. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. So in 2010, I got to witness a miracle. Not somebody being raised from the dead or being healed or maybe being blind and seeing. Something, in my opinion, almost equally as great, though. I got to see the Saints win the Super Bowl. Come on, we have any Saints fans? Let us not forget we were once great. In Alabama, they don't realize that there's a thing called the NFL. And so when I tell them, like, "Yeah, I'm a Saints fan," they're like, "The Saints are horrible." I'm like, "We're world champs." They're like, "That was like 10 years ago." I'm like, "You watch your mouth. We won the Super Bowl." I'm like, "Who do you have in the NFL? You know, you guys don't even have a team." They're like, "What is that?" I'm like, "The NFL. It comes after college football, like after the draft." They're like, "What's the draft?" I'm like, "Never mind." So, yeah, they only know college football. But I'm a huge Saints fan. My dad was the chaplain with the Saints for 5 years. And so we grew up like we were just as big a Saints fan as you could be. So when they went to the Super Bowl, we were going. So we pile everyone. I've got 4 brothers, my wife, my older brother's wife. We all pile in this car. We drive 10 hours to Miami. We get there. We're going to be there for 3 days before the Super Bowl. How many of you have siblings? How many of you hate your siblings, okay? If they're sitting next to you, that's weird, but so we have 5 boys, and I'll tell you, when you get 5 boys, it doesn't matter how old you are. I was 23 at this time. I was in the Air Force. When you get 5 boys in the car, it's like you're asking for trouble. And siblings, you know, if you have them, it doesn't matter how old you get. When you get together, you're all 13 again, like... It's just never ending. And so me and my brothers are very competitive together. And I am kind of like, I'm the enforcer of the family. You think I'm skinny, you should see them. They're really skinny. And I've always kind of been just like the aggressor. So they like to give me a hard time and mess with me. And how many of you know your siblings know your triggers? And like they, it's one thing if like something happens accidentally, when they do it on purpose and you know they're doing it, like it just makes you even double mad. So we go down to Miami. We're in the hotel room and we play Call of Duty. We play Halo. I don't know if you guys are any gamers in here. But you got five boys playing these war games, it gets a little heated. So we go and we're playing. There is, if you understand games, you'll understand this. If not, just try and bear with me. We're playing Halo, and there is like maps, okay? You play different maps. And so we had played one for a little while, and they said, hey, let's change the map that we're playing on. Now, changing the map that you play on Halo is a little difficult. You got to go into three or four different menus, change where you're playing, okay, and then it'll start the next one. So I get the control. Everybody has their controllers. I take my controller, I go into menu, go to settings, go to maps, I go to change the map, and right when I'm about to change the map, somebody hits their controller, okay, and I pick the wrong map. So I'm like, hey, nobody touch your controllers, okay? So, haha, whatever. I go out, I go to menu, I go to settings, I go to maps, I go to change the maps, and right when I go to press on the button, somebody hits the controller, okay, and I pick the wrong one. So once is an accident, two is not an accident. And when you have siblings, you know it's not an accident. Someone's doing it on purpose. And so I'm like, hey, don't hit the maps, okay? Everybody take your hands off. So they're like, okay, my older brother says about my 13-year-old brother, Wesley, stop hitting it. Wesley goes, okay, I'm sorry. We go to menu, go to settings, go to maps. I go to hit the map, and when I go to hit it, it moves again. I press the wrong one, okay? And then every time I press the wrong one, they're like, why'd you pick that one? I'm like, oh my, you guys. So now I'm like, whew, listen, everyone put your controllers on the table. No one touch it. If someone touches it again, I'm going to punch them in the mouth, okay? And I'm in the Air Force at this time. I've got too much testosterone anyway. It's like I'm just like a ticking time bomb. And Jacob again says to Wesley, Wesley, stop moving it. Wesley says, okay, I'm sorry. I go into menu. I go to settings. I go to maps. I go to hit the map. And somebody moves it. I picked the wrong one, okay? I drop the controller. I turn around. I punch Wesley right in the mouth. Like, he had it coming. Everybody's like, why did you hit him? I'm like, I told him three times not to touch it or I was going to punch him in the mouth. They're like, we didn't really think you'd punch him in the mouth. I'm like, that was going to punch him in the mouth. He's crying. My parents run in. My mom's like, why would you hit him? He's your younger brother. Here's what really cut deep is when my wife said, baby, he's like 10 years younger than you. You're like a grown man. He's like a kid. And I'm like, oh, I'm the bad guy now, you know? So I'm like aggravated. Everyone leaves the room. It's just me and my older brother. My older brother's 3 years older than me. He's 26 at this time. He's like, dude, why'd you punch Wesley in the mouth? I'm like, I told you I was going to punch him in the mouth if he did it again. He did it again. You know, I feel bad about it, but he got it. And he's like, bro, it wasn't even Wesley. It was me the whole time. I was messing with you. At this point, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you realize you've been played. He's been doing it on purpose, and now I'm mad, okay? So I'm like, why would you do that? You know me. You knew I was going to hit Wesley. He's like, bro, I didn't know you were crazy. I'm like, oh, you didn't know you think I'm crazy? By the way, if someone ever says, I didn't know you were crazy, and your response is, oh, you think I'm crazy? You're immediately crazy. Like, there's no way of coming back from that. So I'm like, oh, you think I'm crazy? He's like, yes, you're crazy. So I'm trying to rein it in. I don't want to ruin the family vacation, you know. So I go in the other room, and I'm just standing there. I'm just trying to calm down. I'm trying to bring it down. I'm looking out the window at Miami Beach. I'm like, be the waves, be the beach, you know. Just. Well, Jacob comes in, and Jacob's like talking to me, okay. And I'm already mad. And let me tell you this. We all have our triggers, you know. Like, you can only take so much. And, my trigger when I'm really mad, okay, you can say anything you want, you can do, it doesn't bother me. If you touch me when I'm at that point, like it's over. Like, come on, y'all know, I see everybody shaking your heads, you got the same trigger. Like I can control myself, but if you touch me, I can't. I just can't. I don't know, I can't control myself. And I'm standing there at the window and Jacob comes in and he starts talking and he's telling me all kind of craziness and, you know, just saying, you know, why, dude, you're out of control and whatever. And I don't even care. Doesn't bother me. I just have my back to him and he's sitting there. And now he's kind of like going on, and I at the door, there's a small gathering happening. So, like, everyone in the family is, like, kind of at the door trying to see what's going to happen. And I'm good. We're almost done. He's going, and I realize he's about to end and walk out the room. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just recoup. Okay, I'm embarrassed. I punched my 13-year-old brother in the mouth. Like, I feel bad. He's telling me I'm an idiot. I'm like, whatever. So all of a sudden, he finishes and goes to leave. And he does it. He does it. He taps me on the shoulder and just goes, "You need help, man." And like pats me on the shoulder. And I lose my mind, okay? I grab him. I throw him against the wall. He's like looking at me like, "Oh my God, you really do. You really are crazy." I put him in a chokehold. The door flies open. My younger brother, who's 5 years younger than me, jumps on my back and puts me in a chokehold. So I've got him in a chokehold. He's got me in a chokehold. My mom, my wife, and my older brother's wife are trying to pull him off of me. And I'm like, "I'm going to kill you. You did it on purpose. I'm just losing my saying irrational things that I probably can't say in church. So I'm just losing my mind. The moral of that story is he did it on purpose, okay? He knew. But how many of you are glad that manipulative siblings aren't the only ones that do things on purpose? How many of you know we serve a God that also does things on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose? And today I want to talk to you about a message that I call "He Did It on Purpose." You guys have been in a series of figuring out what your purpose is and what that looks like, how to discover your purpose, how to activate your purpose. And today we want to talk about how you can figure out what your purpose is. Discovering the purpose that God has for you. God has a purpose for every single one of us. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 5, 19 and 20. "And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it, to enjoy your work and accept your lot in life. This is indeed a gift from God. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past." Let's read that one more time. "And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it, to enjoy your work and accept your lot in life. And this is indeed a gift from God. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past." When you live on purpose, you forget to remember the past. When you live on purpose, you forget to remember the past. Wouldn't it be awesome to live a life that you love so much, that was so purposeful, that you didn't think about anything that happened in the past? Past hurts, past wounds, past relationships, past failures. But the reality is many of us live a life where sometimes that's sadly all we can think about is the past. Trying to figure out how we move past what has happened in our past instead of loving our life so much that we don't even remember it. All we see is what we're going to do that day because God has given us that much purpose. God has a purpose with a plan for your life. God has a purpose with a plan for your life. The enemy has a plan with no purpose for your life. What's the difference? What is the difference between those two things? The definition of purpose is the reason for which something is done or created for, or which something exists. A plan is a detailed proposal for doing or achieving something. Some of you need to hear today that God actually created your purpose before he created you. You're not just searching for a purpose aimlessly and maybe you'll stumble across it one day and God will go, "Yeah, that seems like it'll work." God created a purpose and said, "Hey, I've got this need. I'm going to create someone to fill it in the world." And then he began to piece together who you are, give you a personality, give you gifts, gives you things that only you have and that only you can fulfill that purpose. But we've got to discover what that purpose is. The enemy has a plan with no purpose. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy and take everything from you that God is trying to give you in purpose. John 10:10, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." How many of you would like to live a life like that? A life that you enjoy so much to the full that it overflows. Does that describe your life? Many times I go back to this verse and go, am I living a life to the full till it overflows? Or am I allowing the enemy to steal from me, to kill the purpose that God has for me, and to destroy what God is trying to do inside of me? We want to have life and have it to the fullest. The enemy wants us to live in our past so that we never walk in our purpose. The enemy wants us to live in our past so that we never walk in our purpose. What does that look like? God has you on a journey. This journey is the journey of purpose for your life. God's desire is that we walk in this path, that we're living in purpose, that we're heading towards the end goal for what he has called us to accomplish. The enemy, in an effort to stop us from walking on this path, continues to remind us about God wants us to live in the future. So that we don't live in the future, walking towards our purpose, the enemy wants us to constantly look back at our past. So instead of walking towards the purpose that God has for us, many times we end up walking like this. Not looking at the purpose that God has for us, but going, man, I wish I would have done that differently. God, I can't believe that happened to me. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe. And we never turn around and embrace what God has called us to embrace, which is the purpose he created for us. How do we live on purpose? If God has created a purpose for us, in purpose and on purpose, how do we do that? How can we find out what it is? Is it just a random shoot that we just, man, you know, I don't know, I guess I'll just pick something. Some of us may have ended up like that we just ended up kind of doing the job we're doing. My best friend is a CPA. He's brilliant, loves God, great person. He's a CPA, and he hates his life. And I always ask him, like, dude, why do you do this if you don't like it? And he always says to me, we can't all just do stuff we love to do. Like, we don't all just get to do fun stuff. I'm like, I mean, yeah, but we don't all have to do stuff we hate, huh? Like, and it's such a clear picture for me of someone who has a purpose and God has called him to do so many things. And he found himself in a place doing something because he went to school and he picked a job that he just kind of thought was going to be good and ended up there. That's not God's desire for you. God's desire is for you to be doing something that's so fulfilling to who you are that you can't even stop doing it, that it doesn't feel like work. We've all heard the old phrase, if you do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And that was the person that said that's because they don't pay anyone to do those kind of things. How do we live in purpose? Number one, we live in the present and in the moment. We live in the present and in the moment. YOLO. What does that mean? Does that mean that we just kind of do whatever and spend all our money and just go crazy? It was like, yo, you only live once. That's not what that means. It means we make these right now moments that God has given us the most important. Here's how that works. Moms, you'll understand what I'm talking about. You go to the grocery store, okay? You get in your car, you're driving to the grocery store. When you're driving to the grocery store, you're not thinking about driving to the grocery store. You're thinking about what you're going to do when you get to the grocery store. You get to the grocery store, you're shopping, but you're not thinking about shopping, are you? You're thinking about what you're going to cook when you get home and what has to happen when you get home and what you need and if you got everything on your list and about the fight you had with your husband and about, you're thinking about all that. Then you get home and you start cooking dinner, but you're not thinking about cooking dinner. You're trying to figure out why your children are screaming and who's going to take care of the laundry and who's going to, and you're cooking and then you finish and you're not thinking about just spending time. You finally are thinking about, I want to sit on the couch and watch This Is Us while my kids are sleeping. Amen? Is my wife the only person obsessed with This Is Us? Okay. Yeah, I know. I'm like, come on. If you watch it one more time, it's going to be This Is You. Okay. But we find ourselves in this pattern of never really embracing what's happening right now. A discipline that I started doing in my life, we live in Birmingham, Alabama, but because we're planning Houston, I drive down a lot, almost once or twice a month at this point. And every time I cross the Basin Bridge, it's a trigger for me. Because when I bring people down to Louisiana, they always say the same thing. God, this is gorgeous. You get to see this all the time? I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, this bridge, I mean, look at all this. This is like phenomenal. I'm like, you mean like the swamp? Like that? That's a... Are we talking about the same bridge? They're like, yeah, I mean, that's just so, I've never seen anything like it. I'm like, oh yeah, it's phenomenal, man. All the mosquitoes down there are amazing. But what I realized is that I had stopped really paying attention to what was going on around me. And I wasn't taking in the beauty of where God had me. Instead, I was just kind of looking forward to the end of the bridge. Many of us in life do that. We start going, and instead of absorbing the moments that we're in right now, we find ourselves living a step ahead. And you can't live in purpose unless you're living on purpose. God wants us to live in the moment. You ever talk to someone and like, you know, they're not listening to you? All the wives said amen. You know, you're talking and your husband, yeah, oh, wow, uh-huh. She's like, I just said I'm leaving you. And you said, yeah, uh-huh, wow. Yeah, oh, my bad, okay. We've all been there where you're talking to someone and you realize they're not really listening to what you're saying. On the other side, we've all been in conversations where you're blown away at how much the person is listening to you. And you're talking, and they're looking at you, and they're asking really good questions, and they're engaging you, and they're going, I'm so sorry that happened. And you're like, wow, this person really cares. They really want to know what I'm about to say. That is God's desire for us to live like that, not only for us, but for everyone that we encounter. Because when we're living in our purpose, we can live on purpose in every moment. We can work, the people we work with, the environments we're in, our children. We can impact the people around us and the things around us the most with our purpose when we're living on purpose. Number two, we live focused on the purpose. We live focused on the purpose. But before we can focus on that purpose, we've got to figure out what that purpose is. How many of you have ever asked yourself, what am I supposed to do with my life? Just me, huh? Me and her. Amen. That's awesome. Me and you, sister. What am I supposed to do with my life? I think at some point, all of us find these times in our life where we go, am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Am I where I'm supposed to be? How do I know if this is what I'm supposed to do? Is there even a supposed to do? How do we discover what that is? And what is amazing is that, I teach our growth track, which happens here, just like it happens at our church. And one of my favorite things is teaching step three. And step three, it's where we help you discover what your purpose is, what your spiritual gifts are, where you are going to be best serving in the church, what God created you to do. And one of my favorite parts about it is when people understand what that is and they see the light bulb go off, because it's not something that you didn't know already. Many of you think God's going to call you to do something that like you hate. Like he's like, hey, listen, I know you don't really like kids, but we need you to serve in the children's ministry. You're like, what? That's my purpose? You are not a good father. Like, we all feel like sometimes there's something that God's going to ask us to do that we're just going to go, this is horrible. This is why I didn't want to know what I was supposed to do. But I love seeing when the light bulb goes off in people's minds and they realize God actually created me to do something that I love to do. And so when my wife went through it, okay, my wife is, she is like the most caring person in the world. I care, but like not as much, you know. She, if we see someone on the side of the road, she's like, can we pick them up? I'm like, right now? Like, you know, she'll give, when we go, we're in the city a lot. So we go to cities in like Houston, New York City, Atlanta, anywhere. I have to hold our money because she will give all of our money away. We will be on the side of the road begging, okay, when we leave there. She's like, can we just give them some money? Can we go? I'm like, yeah, we can't give them everything. We're going to be begging for money. Then we're going to need someone to give us everything, okay? It doesn't matter what it is. She walks in a room. She sees the person who's hurting. She sees the person that has a need. She'll call me and be like, hey, I picked somebody up. I'm going to take them. So I'm like, don't pick anybody up. Oh, my God. You're alone. You're going to be a Dateline movie, okay? So she is so caring. That's not me. I see leaders. I see growth. I see vision. I see God wired me that way, just like he wired her to be caring and loving. So when she went through it, she goes, wow, my spiritual gifts test said that I should serve in the acts of service thing, in our serve day, in our monthly serve projects that happen, that's like what I was made for. That's what I love. I'm like, oh, shocker. God wants you to do the thing that you love. No way. Some of you, how many of you are the type of person that loves kids? Like, you love kids. Yes, that is from God, okay? Trust me, and anyone that has kids knows that's the truth. I mean, come on. I don't have kids because I like kids. I have kids because I like my wife, amen? Some of the younger kids are like, what does that mean? Figure out when you're older, son. But God created you that way because he made you specifically for that purpose. I remember talking to my older brother one time, and he's not a believer. He's not very close to God. And so he's a musician in Nashville. And so we're talking one day, and we're having a conversation about God. And he made the statement. He said, you know, Christian, when I play music, that's the closest to God I've ever felt. And he said it, and I kind of thought, that seems kind of like hippie-ish. He's probably like high or something. I don't know. That doesn't make much sense. Then he just kind of wrote it off. Couple months later, I was preaching, and me and Alex were driving home, and she said, it's so awesome when you preach. You just love it. I can tell how much you love it, and, you know, why do you love it so much? And I made the statement without even thinking about it. It's like it's just the closest to God I've ever felt when I preach. And immediately I had this thought where I realized what he was actually saying was, when I am operating in the gift that God created me to operate in, it's the most fulfilled I could ever be as a person. It's like the square peg finds the square hole, and immediately you feel like, this is exactly what I'm supposed to do. I was made to do this. God has an area like that for each and every one of you. And we start by taking an inventory of kind of like, what are the things I naturally love? Some of you wonder why maybe you're like the friendliest person in the world. God made you that way. He needs greeters. He needs people to welcome people. He needs people to park. It is so wild when you see people get on a team. So we have people that are on the parking team. The parking team, to me personally, does not seem like a fun team, okay? I'm not like, oh yeah, I want to stand out there and park cars. Like, that sounds awesome. The guys on the parking team at our campus are like the happiest people in the world. And I'm like, bro, you really love doing this? They're like, I wake up every morning thinking I can't wait to get Sunday and park cars. I'm like, oh my Lord, like, that is wild. Because God created them that way. They love it. For me, I love public speaking. I've always loved speaking. I don't mind getting in front of people. It doesn't bother me. My wife is so, she, like, even talking about this, I can tell she's getting red on the front row. She is one of those. How many of that's you? You're like embarrassed. You don't want to be on stage. You don't want to be in front of nobody. Don't make me public speak. That is the gift that God gave me, because it's just what he naturally made me to do. And so I didn't realize until I got older and realized, wow, public speaking is 85% of people's greatest fear. It's not normal that I love this and it's easy for me and I enjoy it. You all have an area like that that to you may seem normal, but to everyone else, they go like, wow, they're the most gracious person I've ever met. They're the most generous person I've ever met. They're the kindest person. They're the most organized person I've ever met. And only until you realize that God created you that way to use it for your purpose can you begin to walk out what he actually made you to do. God created you for a purpose. We live focused on the purpose. We discover our purpose by taking an inventory of the things that he's already given us. Growth Track is a great place to start with that. If you've never done Grow, it happens every Sunday of the month. It's four steps. Step four is this afternoon. You guys would love it. I'm telling you, jump into it. You understand so much about yourself, about who God created you to be, about where you can function in that role in the body of Christ. It is amazing. And I always tell people it's one of the greatest tools the modern day church has found to help people discover what their purpose is. So I encourage you to jump into it if you've never done it. Also, we eliminate purposeless living. Listen, there's many times that a good thing in our life can keep us from the great things in our life. That maybe God has made us good at some stuff, and it's keeping us from doing what he's made us great at. All of my brothers are musicians, except for me and the youngest one. I played music from the time I was about 16 till I was 20, to be honest with you, to get girls. Okay, come on, guys, you know what I mean. I got married, stopped playing music. My wife was like, why don't you play the guitar anymore? You used to play for me all the time. I'm like, duh, we're married now. I mean, I got you. I don't have to play the guitar anymore. And people ask me sometimes, why'd you stop playing music? For me, that's not what God created me to do. I did it to hang out with my brothers. I did it to get my wife. For me, it's purposeless living. I could spend hours sitting in the room playing guitar, but it wouldn't get me any closer to the purpose that God has given me personally. What things do you have in your life that maybe you spend time on or doing that really probably aren't what God's called you to do? That maybe what they do is not add to your purpose, but they take away from your purpose that God's given you. I encourage you to take an inventory of the things that you do, the things you spend time on, the areas you invest yourself into, and see, hey, is this getting me closer to the purpose God has for me or farther? Number three, we enjoy the process of our purpose. We enjoy the process of our purpose. I just got back from Israel on Thursday night. If I seem a little out of it, I got back from Israel Thursday night at midnight. We jumped in the car. We drove down from Birmingham Friday. Spent the day with my wife and family Saturday and then drove up here. So I'm like still on Israel time. I woke up this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. She's like, why are you up? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. What day is it? But we just got back from Israel. And one of the things that blew me away about the whole Jewish mindset, that was fascinating. I've always seen my life, my Christianity, everything, in almost like a snapshot. I know what I'm going to do. I know where I'm going. I know what needs to happen. I know what God wants me to do. I know what I need to do to serve God. All in this little picture. And you get with the Jewish people, and it's not, the Western mindset that we have of life is not like that. It's very panoramic. And you talk to them, and they go, I'm on a journey with God. And, you know, this is what I'm doing now. When I get to the next thing, I'll deal with the next thing. I'm okay walking out the journey. I'm okay with the process of my life. And it was mind-blowing to me. Because for all of our American ways that are fast and now and this and that and very cut and clear and defined, you see people that they're not, it's just so relaxing to them to enjoy the process. We don't have to be at our purpose right now. God has you on a process of completing your purpose. When I lived here, I used to come down at night. I lived upstairs. I was like a hobbit. There's no windows up there. I'd come down at night and I would go into the old sanctuary. I'd go up there, I'd play like a whole worship set, I'd get on stage, no one was there, it was just me, I thought I was Billy Graham, and I'd pray, I'd play a whole worship set, and then I'd preach a message, and then I'd give a fake altar call, and like it was awesome. Like in my mind, I was like, if I could ever do this, it would be amazing. Like, and I remember thinking then, who's ever gonna pay me to preach? Like that's, this is never gonna happen. This would be awesome if I could do this for a living. I was at the beginning of a process that God had me on. And the awe of it never fails me. I laid in bed with Alex last night and said, can you believe I get to do this? Like I get to preach? Like this is like what I get to do for a living. Like I feel like it's not fair. Like I feel like it's not fair to everybody else. I was on a process 10 years ago and I'm still in the process today. I'm at different stages of the process, but all of the process takes place within the confines of my purpose. All of the process that you are in takes place within the confines of the purpose that God has called you to. It might not make sense now. You might not be where you want to be right now, but God is taking you on a journey, and the end of that journey is to complete what He's called you to do on this earth. You have a purpose. Enjoy the process of that purpose. Enjoy figuring it out. You don't need to know right now. You don't need to do it right now. But you need to be taking the steps towards the purpose that God has for you. You've got to be on the path. If it isn't fulfilling, it isn't your purpose. If your purpose isn't fulfilling, it isn't your purpose. What does that mean? Just like I said earlier, God's not going to call you to do something you hate. I remember I was 21, and I was on a basketball court, and we're all joking about, like, what's God going to call you to do? I was with a bunch of guys from church. And like, you know, I think I'm going to do this. I think God called me to be this. What are you going to do? I said, I don't know. Like, I want to preach, but God might call me to be like a missionary in Africa. Like, that's scary. Like, I don't want to do that at all. And I picked up a basketball, and from one side of the court to the other, I said, if I make this, I'm moving to Rwanda to be a missionary. And I threw it, and it went in, and I was like, oh, I know it. He hates me. I've always known it. And I remember having this moment of panic where I'm like, God's going to call me to do something that's miserable. I don't want to do that. Let me tell you, God is not going to call you to do something with your life that makes you miserable. God is going to call you to do something that's so enjoyable, like we said at the beginning, that you forget everything else that happened in the past, that you wake up every morning going, I can't wait to go do this. I can't wait to get to work. I can't wait to walk in the purpose God has for me. I can't wait to live a fulfilled life. God loves you so much that He created you to do something that fulfills you, that's amazing for you, that every day you're amazed that you get to do what He created you to do. If it's not fulfilling, it's not your purpose. God never gives us depressing purpose. He gives us enjoyable purpose. Is your purpose enjoyable to you? Are you living a life that you wake up like that going, I can't believe I get to do this every day? Or do maybe we need to take an inventory of where we're at and go, I think maybe I stopped living a purpose and started living a plan. Many of us have a life purpose, and some of us just have a life plan. That we're not on the purpose that God has for us. We've created a plan for ourselves, and we're following the plan all the while missing the purpose that God has created for us. Lastly, you celebrate your wins. Listen, there's nothing that can get you to your purpose more than when you do something that's fulfilling to you, celebrate it. When you pick someone up off the side of the road like my wife does and she calls me and goes, that made me feel so good, that was awesome. What she's really saying is, this is what I want to, this is what God created me to do. This is what God made me in the deepest parts of me that fulfill me the most is when I'm operating in this way. I always tell people, they call me a growth track director. I'm really just like a cheerleader. Because what I do is people do something and they go, God, Pastor Christian, I've never loved serving as much as I love serving in this area. And I go, man, that's awesome. God created you. No one parks cars like you do. No one pours coffee like you do. No one organizes paperwork like you do. You're the best in the world at it. And you see it begin to click in them like, this is what God created me for. I was made for this. If you don't feel that way about what you're doing, you may be living a life plan and missing the purpose that God has for you. What's the difference? What's the difference? A plan is exhausting. A plan will keep you practicing all the time, practicing to get better, practicing to change things, practicing to grow in this, practicing to make more money, practicing for a promotion, practicing. It will always keep you practicing for what's next. Purpose is easy. It just happens. It's natural. Practice is never ending. Purpose, you never want to end. Practice is exhausting. Purpose, you get tired in, but never tired of. You get tired in it, but never tired of it. I encourage you, when you go home, sit out and take an inventory of the things that you just love doing. The things that you never get tired of. The things that people tell you, man, no one does that like you. The things that maybe you just go, God, if I could do this for a living, I would love it. If I could do this forever, it would be a dream. Because it's in those moments that you find what God really created you for. Remember, God created your purpose far before He created you. You weren't a mistake. You aren't an accident. You're not searching for something that's not there. God has a purpose for you that He created on purpose for you, and He wants you to walk in purpose as you're on the pathway of your life. Would you bow your heads with me? Dear God, thank you so much that you are an intentional God, that you love us, you care for us, you created us for a purpose, with purpose, on purpose. God, you know that purpose. And I pray that you begin to open the eyes of every single person here. Speak that purpose to them, God. Show them the things that you created them for, the things that they enjoy. Begin to make it so clear to them that it's like they're hearing your very voice. God, let them enjoy this path. Let them enjoy the process of what you're doing in them, God. Let them live in the moments. Let them take full advantage of every moment that they're with you, every moment they're walking in their purpose, every moment that they're doing what fulfills them the most. Some of you may be here this morning, you go, Christian, you talk about purpose, you talk about God having a purpose for me. I don't even know if I know God. I don't even know if I know what that means to even be in the process of a relationship with Jesus. I think I want to start that. I think I want to take the first steps of walking in my purpose, of understanding what God created me for, who He created me to be. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this is between you and Jesus. If that's you and you say, Christian, today, I want to know Jesus. I want to enter into that relationship and begin walking in my purpose. Would you raise your hand for me? Amen. Amen. I see those hands. You can put them down. We're going to pray together. And listen, you can pray in your heart. You can pray out loud. You can whisper this to yourself. As long as you mean it, this is between you and Jesus. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to earth, for dying for my sins, so that I could live forever. Thank you for creating me with a purpose. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Today, Lord Jesus, I choose you. I choose to live my life for you. I choose to begin the process of understanding my purpose. Today, I give you myself. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, can y'all get up for Christian? Whew. I was telling Christian this morning that last night I was sitting there just thinking about him coming, and I was reminded of the first time I met him, which was at a camp that Our Savior's Church, which is kind of our mama church, really was putting on at the time, called War Week. It was an incredible camp. I remember walking in and seeing this skinny kid, was probably 10 or 12, we were figuring at the time, running around, and everyone just kind of having a good time beating him up. But it was cool just I was thinking about that, just what a joy it is to watch what God does in people when you get to walk with people for a long time and be around them, and just to know what God's done in him and doing in him. And Christian, we're so excited about what you guys get to do with Tomball and coming up with that. I'm stoked for you guys, and just to know what God's about to do there. It's awesome. I'm excited. Y'all get up for Christian again. That was awesome. Real quick, I get the honor of kind of wrapping this up. So our ushers and prayer team, want you guys go ahead and come on up. And while they're getting up here, I want to let you know about a couple things. First of all, if you're here for the first time, we do want to know that you were here. And we want to take a moment and just send you something as our way of saying thank you. So there's a connection card in front of you. If you'd fill that out, if you haven't done so yet, let us know that you're here. Place it in the bucket as it comes by. And we just want to send you something as our way of saying thank you for being here today. Also, if you've got prayer requests, you go, man, I just need someone to pray with me and pray about a need I'm going through. On the back of that card is a great place you can place that and write that on there and just stick it in the bucket as it comes by. If you're making out checks today, you can make it out to Church the King. You can also give online, churchtheking.us. Ushers, why don't you guys go ahead? While they're doing that, two things I want to mention. Christian already said it, but Grow Step Forward takes place right after this service today. And it is in the theater room right back over here. It's going to be a lot of fun, and so there's meal, and so if you have not been a part, if you've been a part yet, it's a great time to get in. Grow Step 4 takes place. You head on over there right after that. And then last but not least, this Wednesday night is our next First Wednesday. It is going to be a blast, and if we have any junior high school students, we got something special for you guys at 6:30. It is going to be a food fight for First Wednesday. I don't know how they're pulling that off, but there's a food fight scheduled for students. I may become a student that night, I'm just saying. So that is this First Wednesday, 6:30. We will see you guys back. And why don't you guys stand up? I'm going to pray for you. Man, today was great. That was awesome. It was cool. That was a great message. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much, God, just for the purpose, the destiny that you've created us for. God, I thank you that, Lord, you saw what you had in mind for us long before you ever made us. You made us just for that. And God, I pray just for every single person here, God, that we would connect with you, with your purpose, God, to know you, to know what you've made us for. And God, that we would walk in that all the days of our life. God, just speak a blessing over every single person here, God, that you would be with them. You go before them, come behind them. And God, that you would be with them every day. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said,